Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for this morning, Lord. I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence, for your time. Lord, just be upon Jared as he ministers your word. Let his mouth be anointed with your voice, with your words, Father. Let his words be your words, Lord. And I just thank you, Jesus, that we get to be here in your presence today. Lavish upon each and every single person here, Lord. Lavish upon their circumstances, lavish upon their pain, lavish upon their surroundings, Lord, that you are for them, that if you are for them, who can be against them? I just thank you, Jesus, for everyone that's dealing with any problems in your body. Now is the time to bask in his presence and focus on that. Focus on him right now. And I just thank you, Jesus, for any circumstances that may be consuming your mind. Turn your mind in your eyes and your focus on him, because he is the good God. He is a good God, and he gives good gifts. So thank you, Jesus, for this morning. We are so thankful to be here with you guys today. As you can see behind me, that's me looking better with makeup on. Now it's all cried off. Oh, thanks, babe. So do you. And so we're just really excited to be here. If you don't know, I'm Charlene. This is Jared. We're started Rise Nations. And if you guys don't have any plans right after service, we'd love to hang out with you. We're going to do a meet and greet and to tell you all about Rise Nations and what we're doing hereafter. So I think that's all for me.
I missed it all.
Are you ready? Nice. Do I need to buy you more time?
I don't know. Can you hear me? Am I on? Yeah. No? Not? How about now?
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, I can hear me. Let me turn it off quick. No, we just love for you to come join us today after church. We'll be as quick as possible, but we'd love to let you know exactly what we actually are up to. I don't know. I missed some of it. So yeah, please come join us after service. We'll be downstairs. There's some. I think she said the rest. So God bless you guys and thank you.
There's food is what he was going for. There's food.
I know where my mind's at.
Can you take this? Sorry.
Anything else?
Nope. Okay. I'll keep the wallet. I don't like all the... Oh, here, fine. Have all my money.
Oh, wait.
Hey, too slow. I'll keep it all. I don't know how to transition from that to what God's got in my heart for you today. I'll do my best to keep it together. But I don't know how you stand in a place of worship like that and not know that God loves you. And not know that he loves you more than you'll ever be able to love yourself or someone else around you. That he loves you with a love that'll never die, it'll never fade, and it'll never go old. I'm going to do my best to get through this word that God's placed on my heart. So I apologize if I go over, but I've got to give you everything I've got before we leave. I don't know if Charlene told you, but we leave Tuesday morning, afternoon sometime. But there's been something stirring in my spirit for the better part of a year and a half. And I wish you could all stand here and feel what I feel for you right now. That's why Josh couldn't introduce us. It's called the love of God. It's called his mercy and his grace. I'm guessing. How sweet it is to be in the fellowship of the saints in the house of God today. So I thank you for being here. Thank you for your time. You're in a little bit of trouble because I got two Bibles today and a notepad. No, I got to be able to see. Dang it, this happened last time. This word's been in my spirit for a while. And I'm going to give you the best version I can in the quickest amount of time that I can. But I am trying to write it all down. I wasn't going to say that, but I'm working on finishing a book. It'd be the first book I've written, which is insane. Second book. I did write. So I got to tell you a story real fast. So this will help me relax. Thank you, honey. We're going through all of our stuff in boxes and stuff here and up at Charlene's parents in Windham. And we're going through all of our boxes. We don't have much left to our life. This is not an overstatement or, oh, look at us. Like, this is all full reality. We have like 9 tub boxes of stuff, and that's like, that's all that's to my name, besides the clothes on my back. And we're going through stuff, trying to reorganize. I was remodeling the whole upstairs because I'm really allergic to cats, and her parents have cats, so I'm kind of like, I'm quarantining, cat-friendlying our room. And, you know, ripping out carpets, all this stuff. Anyway, we are going through a new bookshelf that we got from a friend of ours, and I find this little cardboard, roughly cut triangle piece of thing, and it says, "Dear God, what is Christmas?" Dang it. I wrote it when I was like 9 or 10, maybe 11, right after I gave my life to the Lord. I cut out pages. I wrote a story, drew the pictures, and stapled it to a piece of cardboard and folded it in half. And so as my wife was relaxing me, which worked so well, it'll be the second book I ever wrote. It's important to me. I need your prayers because I'm a nuclear engineer. I'm mechanical. I'm not English. English. So I know it's the Holy Ghost, but it's going to go into more depth of everything I'm going to share with you today. But I've got to give this word to you, so I'm just going to start and stop yammering on while I try and see. Do you know that God loves you? I mean, we're coming up on Christmas season. It's a day that, you know, we tend to celebrate the birth of Jesus, regardless of what time you're actually born. It doesn't really matter. It's a time where the whole world actually comes around this focus called Jesus Christ, whether they intend to or not. I think it's a great opportunity to minister the gospel because everyone's like hearts are like wide open for love and gifts and caring and giving and food and fellowship and all that stuff. Just don't forget Jesus. So, wow, I really can't see. I bought readers, Elaine, so you'll be happy about that. It's old age, I guess. I want to read a fair bit of scripture to you today, but that it's important, and it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where I'm going to start, verse 14 and 15. If you can go there with me, if you got your Bibles. If not, come talk to me later. I'll get one in your hands if I have to. Can I just say something when it comes to that? Carry your Bibles. There's important stuff there. I know some of you carry it on your phones. I understand that. But that app's right next to Facebook and Snapchat and TikTok and Ding Dong and Wing Wang and Wow Wow and everything else that's ever been created on earth that's a temporary satisfaction. But the one that'll never leave is that little Bible app. Just carry a hard Bible. It's easy not to turn on your phone. That just came to me while I was driving down the mountain. But I want to start reading in verse 14, and it says this, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, he being Christ, that those who live should live no longer for themselves." Did you hear that? Yes. I'm going to ask for some response today, because I believe it's important in the body of God that those who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So our life now is to be lived for the one who died for us, which isn't you, and then it's not me, it's Jesus Christ himself. God on earth, born of the Virgin Mary, was raised, crucified, died, was resurrected from the dead so that you and I might live now. Not now in the natural, now in our eternal nature in Jesus Christ, born of the Spirit, no longer of the flesh. In John chapter 15 and verse 9, I'm going to be in a few places today, so keep your finger in John chapter 15. We're going to go back there. 15 and verse 9, it says, "I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love, and do not doubt my love for you." That's Amplified. Do not doubt my love for you. If you keep my commandments and obey my teaching, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Do you remember always and never forget and give to others that Jesus obeyed to the point of death? Remember, he went to the garden, Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, yours be done. AKA, I'll do as you command me, no matter how I feel. This is important stuff. This is God's stuff. Jesus obeyed unto death and counted it joy. We're going to talk about that joy today. That's the crux of this whole message today. We're going to talk about that joy. He obeyed unto death, and he said, if you love me, you'll do as I've commanded you. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for who? Him. So if our portion is in him and he went to the cross for the sake of obedience to the Father, our portion is now to do as he did in this earth. If you love me, you will do as I've commanded you. So let's read more about this. Chapter 2, chapter 5 of Corinthians, verse 16. We keep going. Therefore, from now on, I want you to hear this, because this is the whole premise of what I'm going to talk about today. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one. How many people? No one. Saved or unsaved, we regard no one according to the flesh. Let that sink in for a minute. I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to keep reading. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled himself through Jesus Christ and has given us, given who?
Us.
Given who?
Us.
Say me. Given who?
Me.
You, the ministry of reconciliation. I want to read to you a little bit from the Amplified what that actually says in kind of like modern day words here, right? If I can find myself. Yeah. Getting there. But all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable to him, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, so that by our example we might bring others to him. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sin against them, but canceling them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, that is, restoration to favor with God. So Jesus didn't hold anyone's sin accountable to us. He did not impute our sin upon us. He took it to the cross and buried it once for all, not just for you, for every human being ever born that will ever walk this earth. And then he gave that reconciliation ministry to you. On somewhere, follow me with this, please. So if he gave us a reconciliation ministry to not impute sins of others upon themselves, I want to read this scripture to you. Actually, I'm going to read it from the Amplified. Told you, got a couple Bibles today. John chapter 20 and verse 23, it says this. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven because of their faith. If you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained and remain unforgiven because of their unbelief. I love the way the Amplified says that. Do you understand what he's saying? We're given a ministry of reconciliation. We can literally, when someone offends us, we can say, you are forgiven. Now it's up to them to receive their forgiveness or not. If they do not receive, it's their unbelief. If they do receive, it's because they believe that they truly are forgiven. Yeah. You understand the power that is within you, that what you carry everywhere you go. The power of forgiveness is so strong, so powerful, it can reset someone's life in an instant. I know it did me. Mm-hmm. When I met him, in an instant. Reconciled to Christ, forgiven. I believe. I believe you've forgiven me. Now I got to learn how to walk that out. I get that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the immediate. Aren't we supposed to carry a ministry of reconciliation? How can we ever reconcile somebody to the Father unless we carry forgiveness regardless of the consequence? We've got to give that to somebody. I don't care if they deserve our unforgiveness. Forgive them. Because it is going to be their belief or unbelief that dictates their position before God, not you. Don't let it be you. If you're a child of God, never let it be you. You've been given a ministry of reconciling the world to Him. Whether it comes through healing, sit-down times, phone calls, conversations, food, at work, it does not matter. It doesn't matter. If you can't look at the world around you and realize it doesn't matter, they do not care how you feel. The world doesn't care. It will chew you up and spit you out. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You have overcome death itself. So let's get busy doing what He's given us to do, which is a ministry of reconciliation. Walk around forgiving everyone. They'll look at you like you got 10 heads. They will. The world doesn't understand forgiveness. It can sometimes when God allows. But it, by nature, it does not understand forgiveness because it wants to bury you in depression and not good enough and failure and everything else. The world wants to crush you. It's really hard to crush someone who walks in forgiveness. When you bear the ministry that was given to you through Jesus Christ on the cross, a ministry of reconciliation, when you forgive somebody, what can they do to offend you? Nothing. They can't hold you down. Now, if they unforgive or forgive, that's up to them. You're not responsible for that side. You're responsible for you. You're responsible for the decisions, the choices you make. It's not that easy. Yes, it is. Take every thought into captivity, into the obedience and knowledge of Christ Jesus. He wouldn't put it in there if it wasn't possible. It may not be easy. We may not want to. Carry the ministry of reconciliation. I remember when I gave my life back to the Lord. It's hard to believe it's been over a decade now. It's crazy, right? I still remember walking in this building. I remember when I gave my life back to the Lord and I just felt like I got to forgive everybody. And I wasn't wrong. So I began to email, message, text, call people from my past. Friends that had hurt me 10 years ago that I carried unforgiveness for. But see, once I've received the ministry of reconciliation, I can't believe that I'm unreconciled myself. You understand what I'm saying? I get you make mistakes. Forget about it. Move on. Repent when you need to. Ask for forgiveness where you need to. But that's not your portion. That's not who you are. And I remember calling these friends, and some of my friends were like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Things are good, man. We're good. I was like, sweet, but can I tell you the burden that lifted off my shoulders? If you carry unforgiveness, before you leave this house, call somebody, text somebody, maybe they're sitting right next to you. Deal with it. Because it will hinder you in the place that you're going. Ministry of reconciliation. The Word of God is so powerful. If we just get into it. The closer I get with Him, the more important the Word is to me. The more important I realize it is to the body of Christ. The more important I believe it is for everyone. I got a friend, and actually when I challenged you guys a few weeks back, the guy I ended up baptizing, I had to accept the challenge. I can't challenge you and not do it myself. So confronted the guy at Mitchell Hollow Church up in Windham, New York, and ended up baptizing. Anyway, this guy's gone crazy for Jesus, and I love it. He was just on an elk hunt in Colorado. Mike, you would have loved it, dude. This thing was huge, bro. Huge. And he let his friend shoot it. He's like, no, that's for you, man. I'll wait for the next one. And at the end of the trip, he's with three guys. None of them believe. One guy was curious. But the whole time they're there, they're having spiritual conversations. And Tom's talking to him about Jesus. At the end of their hike down off the mountain after hours and hours out there and lugging this, I think they each pack like 50 or 60 pounds of meat on their pack, as well as what they packed in, because this thing was enormous, and you can't drag an elk like 7 miles. You got to cut it up where you're at and pack what you can and leave the rest for nature. But he gets to the edge of this cliff, and right before they leave, he's like, hey, let's just all pray together. And they all kind of looked at each other like, sure, let's do that. And the one guy said, you know, after they prayed, they went their ways, but the friend that had invited him, he's like, you know, I've always wanted a Bible, and I didn't, you know, I've been thinking about it lately, so I hope I can get one. Tom walked to his car, gave him his own traveler's Bible. Hungry for God, didn't even know it. That's the world around you, whether you realize it or not. Some will receive you, some will not. If they don't, knock the dust off your feet. That's in the Bible. Keep going. Because you never know who's ready and ripe and ready to receive a harvest, and you never know when you're going to. I tell you what, if you've never led somebody to the Lord, that minute, that day that happens, God for it, it will come. And I promise you, after you've won one, you're going to be like hungry for more. Why? Because there's nothing more exciting than seeing somebody freed by the power of God. Yeah. I get too excited. I calm down. I'm going to get through this in Jesus' name. Come on, Jared. We've got to read the word. We've got to be in the scriptures. Listen, I want to go back. Ministry of Reconciliation. I didn't even read verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Do you hear that? As though God were pleading who, through who? Through who? Change that to a me. Through who?
Me.
So God, we are now ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through. Yeah. Minister of Reconciliation, as though God were pleading through you. Don't you want to know who Jesus is? We implore you on Christ's behalf. That's a very strong word, by the way. Yeah. Implore, that's a heavy word. That's not like a, hey, it's a good idea. That's like a now type of word. We implore you. On Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Okay, so here we go. So we have the fact that we were born again, that we're new creation, that all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, right? We're a new creation. Great. That means everything from our past, the way we thought, the way, gone. Now, does it mean those thought patterns don't try and creep in? Yes, of course it does. That's the human nature of who we are. So we know who we are in Christ. We know what we've been given in him, a ministry of reconciliation. So then the question remains, how is it always seem so difficult? And this is the key to me, the word that God has been ministering to my spirit that started the writing of this book, this is the key that opens this whole thing up to me. It's kind of excuse eliminating. If you're faint of heart, I'm sorry, deal with it. I'm probably going to offend you, but you'll be all right. Therefore, from now on, remember verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Plant this saying in your spirit. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. So now let's get into the Word of God. I'm just getting started. I'm just getting warmed up. Hebrews, I'm not going to say my joke. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let's do it this way. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, let's go to verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, so there's people watching, angels watching, God watching, everything we do here. Therefore, we ought. So when you think you're alone and in your quiet space and you get to do whatever you want to do, that you're not alone. Amen. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, a.k.a. let us put off the flesh. Remember, we'll regard no one according to the flesh. That means you, when you look in the mirror. Starts there, in fact. Know who you are. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, boom. When I saw this scripture and God been ministering to me these things that I'm telling you today, that word dropped into my spirit like a stone, a lead balloon out of the sky, sinking all the way to the depths of the very core of my being. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can I tell you what that says in the Amplified? Don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. Well, I'm sorry, whatever. It says, looking away from all that will distract us. This is the same verse. Okay. Focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, the first incentive of our belief, and for the one who brings our faith to maturity. Wow. Who for the joy of accomplishing a goal. What's your goal? Is it to live for you or live for him? For the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him, endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. So for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. For the joy, what in the world did Jesus see when he was getting whipped and his flesh getting ripped off his body and thorns getting crammed into his head? Most of you wouldn't call that joy. I wouldn't call that joy. I just got a splinter in my finger the other day. That was not joyous. Imagine your whole back being ripped off and then splinters entering. How many of you have gotten a splinter in your life? I know who I'm talking to out here, so I already had an idea. That was like a cheat question. But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. The joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Let me read this again. This God stuff is good stuff. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Do you think Jesus saw our flesh when he went to the cross and called that? Do you think when Jesus went to the cross, he looked at you and me and saw our flesh and called that joy? Just be honest. If you think yes, that's okay. I don't think so. I don't think he saw our flesh one iota. I think he knew what our flesh was. He had to deal with our flesh. He had his own flesh to deal with. But I don't think when he had joy in front of him, he endured that thing for you and I's stupid decisions. I don't. I don't think he looked at us and was like, oh, your sin is, woo, yeah. Yeah, bring on the cross. I said cross. My voice just left me. I don't think that's what he saw. You know what I think he saw? You know what he revealed to me that he saw? And I'm just going to give that to you today, free of charge. Here you go. He saw your eternity. He saw who you were created to be from the very beginning. He already knew who he called you to be. He knew you before the foundations of the earth. He knew the choices of Adam and Eve. He had hope. God has hope. God is love. But he knew they'd be deceived. And in deceiving, entered into the world, and you and I, we need redeemed from sin. So why would I have joy to redeem something that's good as grass? It's going to wither, it's going to burn, it's going to be buried, however you get cremated or buried, it doesn't. What joy is there in saving something that's temporary? But I tell you what, if I know that something in you is eternal and is worth saving, worth bringing alive, I'll have joy in my heart and I'll endure anything. I'll endure anything. My wife and I are about to leave for the mission field. I don't know if you know, the world doesn't like Christians right now, and the world doesn't like people traveling right now. So we're going to travel and bring the gospel wherever we go. My life without question. Not because, oh, look what I did, at all. There's nothing in my heart that's the way. My heart is to do what he tells me to do and go where he tells me to go. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's just not his word. Also what he gives you in your quiet time with him. I don't care if it's uncomfortable or not. There's things that are uncomfortable for me. I still do them because I know he said to. My feelings will eventually catch up. My mind will eventually catch up. But do you understand? When he went to the cross, he saw you, he saw me. Not our natural, our eternal. I'm going to read back again in John chapter 15, verse 11. These things I've spoken to you that my... What's that word? Do you know anyone that got their Bible? What's the next word? Joy. May remain in you. Interesting. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That my joy will remain in you and your joy will be full. So from now on, we regard no one. This is what the Amplified says. From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. Mm-hmm. No one. We regard no one from a human point of view according to the worldly standards and values. So if you're looking at someone with the eyes of the world, you're going to judge them based on the worldly standards and values. Better change your eyesight. Though we have known Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer. So from now on, we regard no one from a human point of view according to the worldly standards and value. These things I have spoken to you that my joy, your eternity, your joy may be full, and that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You see what Jesus did? Eliminated every excuse you and I will ever have to be unforgiving, be unloving, to be understanding, if that's even a real word. Jesus took every one of us and our sin and our depravity and our fleshly nature, and he took it to the cross and said, I'm going to pay for this penalty so that the real life can now begin in this, who you're called to be, and I'm going to give you the eyes to then see everyone around you the same way I saw you, that my joy may remain in you. There's a scripture that says, pick up your cross and carry me and follow me. Does it not? Josh, can you hand the little guy off to your wife real fast? I need you. He's awake. Might want to put your phone down.
Don't break me. I'm getting
old. I'll try not to break you. Come here. Come here. Jump on my back.
Oh, boy.
Yep. All right. Now. Yeah, we're good. Don't tickle me, though. I might drop you. This won't last too long. So hope
I'm
speak
fine.
Fast. You all right?
All right. Good.
Lose some weight, man. Look. Says, pick up your cross and follow me. You ain't going to carry a wooden cross. You got a friend or somebody in your life offended you or caused you harm, but I no longer look at their flesh. I call out the spirit that's within them. So I'm going to pick up my cross, which is going to be a friend, a co-worker, a wife, a husband, a child, and I'm going to follow after him, knowing that I can forgive him, knowing that no matter what he does, I can carry him with the unforgiveness that is given to me. The ministry of reconciliation is now on my back, and I will carry him until the day I die. Pick up your cross, pick up a friend. In the name of Jesus, you're good now.
No.
You're good? All right. We're going to do this. All right. All right, here we go.
You said till you die.
Till I die, okay. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. I need you to get that picture in your mind. The ministry of reconciliation is picking your brother, your sister up, even the people that offend you the most that you don't even like, or the world around you that you don't even know, putting them on your back and carrying them to the cross. Not your cross, his cross, the place where they're forgiven, set free, and born again. And you can't do it through your natural eyes or the world eyes. You have to do it with his joy that's remaining in you, knowing that he saw you in your eternity and your redemption to the Father and glory when he comes again. That's what you need to carry with you everywhere you go, no matter how tired you are, no matter how you feel. You want a ministry of reconciliation, pick someone up that you haven't been forgiving. Put them on your back. Carry your cross for once. We think carrying our cross, oh, I got to work the rest of my life to provide for my family. That ain't a cross. That's just called living on earth. We've got to get this into our hearts. It's Christmas. It's a time we're going to celebrate the birth of a Savior, but do you really understand what he did for you and for me and everyone else that you're going to celebrate with? Do you really know? Because I tell you this much, if we all really actually knew that, the world would look like a whole different place. Meeting and gathering together. Joining in holy hands and worship, glorifying God. Getting in his presence like we were here this morning. That's what the world will look like. Does it mean today you can walk out of here and you'll be perfect at it? No. But you can start. You can call that friend you haven't called in a while and you've been not calling him for a while because you didn't know what to say to him. Maybe you're mad at him. Some of you younger, not kids, kids, you need to call your parents and forgive them. Quite frankly, most of them probably did the best they knew how. I remember one of the most powerful moments in my life. You know, some of you don't know my whole story, but when I was 9, my parents got divorced. And my dad moved to Nebraska. I'm from Kansas, northwest Kansas, close to Colorado. And he moved to Nebraska. And so I only saw him every other weekend. We'd drive to my grandparents, which are 30 minutes away, his parents, in a small farming community called Bird City. Yes, it's a real place. No, it's not just birds. Well, probably more birds than people. But. And I remember going through my life, some of it without my dad. Now, both my parents remarried. And I remember going through my life without my father. Raised by my mom. And when I was 9, 10 years old, we were keeping the house going because mom was working 3 jobs to try and take care of us, 2 or 3 jobs. Just trying to make it. And I remember never feeling not loved. I always felt loved. By my parents. They took me to church every day. Well, every day, every weekend. I still remember, because it's Christmas time, I remember my parents, we went to a Methodist church, and I remember before they got divorced, I remember all the bells lined up at church. And my parents played the bells. It was my favorite time of year as a kid. And I still remember the first year that my dad wasn't there. And I remember what it was like growing up feeling like a kid that didn't have a choice. Always told, you can go Thanksgiving there, you got to spend this weekend there, you got to stay there, you got to do this, you got to do that. I only complained probably a couple of times, to be honest. Because I knew my family loved me. Some of you, this story is speaking directly to your hearts. There's something you got to do today. But I remember growing up, I'm thankful for all the parents I had, all 4 of them. Really am. But I remember the feeling of not having a choice. I remember getting older and feeling there's something inside of me that just wasn't right. I didn't ask for it. But I remember one day after I gave my life to the Lord and came to this church, feeling like I needed to go home. I went to my mom. And I went to my dad. And I said, I need to forgive you for me. And I was like, just tell me what happened. I'm a grown adult. I can handle the truth. Just tell me what happened. And in tears and in love, they both told me their side of the story. And right there on the spot, I forgave them. I forgave my mom. I forgave my dad. And it freed me. I need you to understand one thing. I was never really mad at my parents. I really wasn't. I love my parents to death. I knew I was a kid and I didn't understand. But I remember the power when forgiveness entered into my spirit. All power, all authority, all glory be to God. Ministry of reconciliation. Some of you sitting in here today need to reconcile some stuff. I'm not saying you have to agree with the decisions. I'm not saying you have to have the same opinion or same ideals. I don't care about that. That's worldly stuff anyway. But reconcile one to another. As he reconciled you to himself through Jesus Christ, who we all call Lord and Savior. Begin to look at people around you, not for their flesh, but who God's called them to be, whether they realize it yet or not. Whether they realize it yet or not. Call the eternity out of somebody. Be bold. Nick, be bold. When it's time to go, be bold. Don't worry about the rest. You and your beautiful fiance. Be bold. You hear me? Never quit. Never stop. Be bold. Some of you need to go home today and forgive your parents. If I, with base level understanding of who I was in Christ Jesus, can do it, you can do it. When you go to work, please look at your coworkers in the eyes of Christ for the joy set before them. If you got to pick them up on your back, carry your cross, then do it. You never know when they're ready. You never know the impact you're having. You never will know. So do it anyway. Be bold, young man. Bury your face in the Word. And I would say unto you, not hundreds, but thousands will come. Be bold in that day and do not be distracted. For the thousands will come. And you'll reap a harvest that wasn't just sown by you, but sown by many. And God will be with you as a fire to your front and a shield to your back. He will be with you. Do not worry that in which you will say, for the Holy Spirit will give you utterance in. Be bold. Stand strong. For the Lord thy God is truly with you. Even when you don't feel it, even when you don't see it, he is with you. He is with you. He is with you. Can everyone just stand with me? You got anything? I want you to do me a favor. I'm going to stand up here so I can see you. I just want you to take these last couple minutes and be truly honest with yourself. Can we get any sort of something? Guitar, something? Piano? I just want you to be honest with yourself. I'm almost done with you, I promise. And then please stay and join us downstairs. But I want you to think through your mind. I want you to ask God to reveal to you the people in your life that you need to talk to. We want to walk around sometimes and free the world around us because we see hurt and we see pain and we see hunger and we see these things. We want to do those things. I know what's in your heart. I know a lot of you want to do those things and want to help people, but it's really hard to help somebody when your hands are tied to your feet. And so I'm just going to pray for you all. Normally I'd call you up, and we'll stay for a little bit, not too long, to pray for you. Hopefully anything that can help with that, because we got to get downstairs. But I'm just going to pray for all of you in one shot. Is that all right? Bruce is already ahead of the game. If you know you're that person that have been a little bit bound up by unforgiveness, distrust. The Bible talks about a spirit of unity and bonds of peace. That's with every brother and sister that exists on this planet. Let's be unified today. Let's reconcile today. So in a second, I'm going to ask you to lift your arms, but I want you to lift your arms with someone in mind. Maybe it's yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. You hear me? The world's going to do a good enough job trying to beat you up. Don't do it yourself. Okay. But today I want to be bold as a collective body of Christ. So I'm going to ask right now, if you've felt that bondage, I want you to not just lift your hands up, I want you to throw your hands up. With someone in your mind, someone's name. It could be small, it could be big. You have no idea how a small something can tie a knot really good. You ever been a fisherman, you've seen how fishing line can tie one of the most insane knots I've ever seen. Strong as anything. You can test, Mike knows, you can catch like a 900-pound fish on almost nothing because of a knot. So with your eyes closed right now, I speak knots gone in Jesus' name. Let's get our hands up and glorify God. Knots gone in Jesus' name. Begin to stir yourself up in the Spirit. Begin to stir yourself up right now. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that the same reconciliation that you brought to us through Jesus Christ, we release over those in our hearts and minds today in Jesus' name. I release them. Say it. I release them. Name their name. Say, I release them in Jesus' name. Go home and call them. I release them in Jesus' name. I speak the ministry of reconciliation. If you want that ministry, it's already yours. But if you want it, I want you to raise your hands right now. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that the spirit of fire would come upon this place, that a spirit of reconciliation would erupt in our hearts. God, that you would give every man and every woman and even the children downstairs the eyesight that you had for the joy set before you, that you would Father, I speak eyesight, eyes open. Now, in Jesus' name, God, that people would begin to see what you saw. Some of you need to go home. Tired, that can let them down. But some of you need to go home today and you need to look at yourself in the mirror and you need to say, I forgive you. You know who you are. Jesus paid it all. He paid for you. He paid for me. Sometimes we got to remember who we are. We've got to remember who we are. We've got to remember why he saw us so that we can look at the world around us. So, Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that our remembers, that our minds would be sharpened to who you said we are. In Jesus' name. I want you to... Can you do me a favor? You can let your arms down. We're going to sing a song together. I'm going to sing with you. So I apologize ahead of time for my lack of voice, but I want you to, I may break all sorts of rules here, but could you just all, whatever row you're in, just grab the hands of the people next to you. And if you're in the side rows, come to the middle. Come to the middle. Elaine, you're forgiven. You have a little child. I know who holds your hands at night. You're all right. Jesus forgives you. But I want to sing this song together as we hold hands. And I want you to feel the power of God today. And I want you to sing believing and knowing that he truly is worthy of it all. Because you were worthy of it all. Turn to your neighbor, both of them, and tell them you were worthy of it all. Do you believe that today? If you believe that, say amen. So let's sing together, worthy of it all.
In Jesus' name, be blessed.